Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm sitting right now within the friendly confines of the building in the Mark Lawrence power chair.
Feel the power.
I'm feeling something.
You know, this is the first time the OTM webcam has had anything other than OTM on it. It's a very big moment.
Let me check, see if my pulse has changed at all. All right, look. I'm Steve Jones. I'm working with the assassin, Kevin Herr.
Now that's a nasty rumor. I mean, it was not my fault. Now, listen, anybody that plays golf knows do not walk in front of someone that is hitting a golf ball.
No. I'm walking up the fairway.
It was to the left of me.
To the left. Talking with Drew Kelly. And as I'm walking up the fairway talking with Drew Kelly, the object is for us now, after looking what the next shot was going to be, is to take a club.
I already had my club.
Drew, of course, his cart is before, and then our cart is right after. So I just walk quickly past his cart, go, and I know what club I want. I want the 7-iron. So I go out and I pull a 7-iron. And as I'm pulling the 7-iron out, I right by my ear. Drew goes, oh, my God.
Listen. I was set up. I had the club I wanted. I was using a 6 because I usually go one club higher than you do because I don't hit them quite as hard or as well. So I usually go to the 6. I knew what club that was, pulled it out, and I was ready to hit. Now, I was focused on the golf ball and the shot, trying to make sure that I get the tempo right, that I keep my head down, that my back is in the right spot, that my knees don't end up, you know, shifting out of place, that my feet stay still. I was not wondering where Steve Jones is standing at that particular moment, because I'm assuming you're going to be out of danger.
Time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
Well, and you know what? And I noticed you didn't even want to talk about, you know, the shot that, you know what? Forget it. I don't want to talk about it either. Here's Dan Patrick.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Feel about the same as that gopher felt in that movie.
You're fine. You're
all right. Of course I'm fine.
You're all right.
I'm fine, but after what you did today, complete unawareness.
It was called focus.
That other people around you are on the team.
You know, all through my schooling years, my teachers told me, you need to focus. It was the one moment in time that I focused.
Why don't you focus around the people around you?
Oh, it's not your fault for not being aware of where I am.
Nobody hits a ball when two people are walking up to get their clubs.
I noticed that you mentioned that, but you don't mention the first tee.
What about the first?
Oh, yeah. What happened on the first tee? I knew that was coming. You know, the first tee, as we come out at 8 o'clock.
You drove the ball in the fairway. You had a great shot. Me,
right down the middle of the fairway.
You had a great shot down the middle.
That one shining moment, you reached
in the sun. That was the last shining moment.
That was about the last moment, too, actually.
Right. And I'm just, first of all, we're to the left. How could you possibly have hit it there?
For two weeks, we've been discussing my slice on this program.
You didn't slice it on one.
I didn't. But that was the only one it seemed to me that I didn't slice it on.
You almost hit it into somebody's front yard on two.
Well, that's normal. I did not put it in front of Bylo Supply's front door, though, on three. That's really good.
No, you actually had a very good shot on three.
I was very happy about it.
You had a very good shot on three.
We got to seven.
Yes, my ball is sitting in the right-hand rough just off the fairway on
and,
seven.
And mine's just under the tree right above it, just a little bit above. So yeah, it hit about 7 o'clock It hit about the seventh hole when the thunderstorm hit. So that ended the tournament.
We're coming back though on June 5th,
right? And hopefully the ninth green will not be as flooded as it was when we left.
Do we get to start all over again? Right?
I really hope so.
I believe we it would not hurt our team if we did.
No,
we were not exactly burning up the scorecard. Now here's the next part. Today I wore a beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club golf shirt.
Very nice shirt.
Which you gave me for Christmas.
Yes.
Which certainly had great thought behind it, and I appreciate that very much. It wasn't until this week when it was revealed exactly how it was acquired.
But I didn't realize at the time. I mean, it's still a great thought because, you know, if I would have realized it wasn't your... All right, fine. All right. I figured
last year, where we finished last year in the tournament? Third?
Something like that, yeah.
Second, third, something.
In the third
like that.
Flight, I think, yeah.
Okay. So we received generous Susquehanna Valley Country Club gift certificates. I thought, this is great. He says to me, he says, don't worry, I'll make sure you get yours.
And I think your answer was, I'm not worried.
Right. I figured I'd get it at some point.
Sure.
Should be pointed out that it never did reach my possession.
It did not. You are correct.
And then this week you had a startling realization about where it went.
Well, and here's what happened. Around December, I thought, hey, I still have my certificate. I haven't used it yet. I'll go and, you know, get Steve a Susquehanna Valley Country Club shirt.
The thought is good.
Yeah, because he was talking about getting one the last time he was in.
That's right.
Didn't have the chance. So
that's true.
I thought I'll do that. And the other day, after the program, you and I were talking, and you were talking about a shirt. And I said, well, you can wear the one. He's like, yeah, I could wear the one there. That would be very good. He said, and at that point, it dawned on me, as we were talking, that the gift certificate that I'd used wasn't my gift certificate in the first place.
It was mine.
It was yours.
In essence, I bought myself a Christmas gift.
It was a really nice idea, and I didn't. I didn't realize I had this gift certificate left. Well, I'll use that.
Yes. Yes.
So did you enjoy the present you got yourself?
Yes, in the end, I did. Yes, find it. It's a nice thought.
I did generally feel bad after that. not terrible, but I did feel bad.
So for all of you out there who re-gift.
This is worse than re-gifting, I think. I admit it.
Considering last year the number of shots I contributed to help do this.
Yeah.
I essentially did earn the gift
certificate. You did. You did.
Yes. Yes.
And if we would have won today, I would have relinquished my certificate to you.
Well, June 5th is still on the horizon.
That's a good point.
could still be a part of the tournament. 47 teams, which is up from last year, a part of this year's tournament, which is great news. Great news. But we can get more teams, especially in the morning flight. So on June 5th, if you're available, that would be great to have you be a part of it. And you can, you know, and I was talking to Bonnie Wasmer today. Dave in Sunbury. Dave, it's great to be with you.
Hello?
How are you, Dave?
Okay, yourself?
I'm doing very well, despite a near brush with death.
Yeah, I heard about that. Well,
talk about drama.
I go, what
drama? Excuse me. Would you like us to bring Mark Mahoney, our ace webmaster, and Drew Kelly from 94KX in here, who were witnesses to the assassination attempt?
Whoa. That makes it sound like it was on purpose. By far it wasn't on purpose. Although Drew Kelly did say afterwards, I know you really want to call a Penn State game, but that's not the way to do it.
I mean, Dave, it was honestly a frightening moment.
Well, I just got one question, and I'm going to leave you with something else, too. But on June 5th, in your foursome, why don't you let him go out first and follow behind him?
In fact, we voted as a team that, you know, we'd like him to play one hole ahead.
Actually, that's not safe either when you get to 7 and 8 because they're right next to each other.
That's just great.
Huh?
It's sad.
Is that a down and back deal?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Down and back.
Oh, well.
Well, what I'm going to do, Dave, is I'm going to go to a construction site. I'm just going to get a hard hat.
Yeah, get it over with, right?
I mean,
body armor.
It went right past my ear. I'm thinking to myself, what? I mean, I can't even believe.
I had no idea you were standing anywhere near
there.
You're
right-handed.
Yes.
You know what it takes for you to get it over to where I was?
Oh, no. You don't understand. I've been playing golf with my own lack of abilities for a long time. I know what it takes, and I know how it happens.
Dave continues.
You have hazard pay in your insurance for going out golfing with him?
Dave, I think it's something that must be negotiated in the new contract.
How did the volleyball team make out?
Went to the national semifinals, lost to BYU in 3 straight last week. I will be with Mark Pavlik tonight. He is part of the coach's caravan in Scranton this evening, along with Bill O'Brien and Patrick Chambers. I'll be joining them as soon as the show's over.
Okay. Well, that answers that question. But now you got lacrosse on the horizon.
Yeah, this is a great thing for lacrosse at Penn State because the women's lacrosse team will take on Canisius in the opening round on Friday. Should they win as the number 7 seed, they would come right back and host again on Sunday against the winner of UConn-UMass. The men's lacrosse team is in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2005. Jeff Tambroni has been to the national Final Four twice in his career as a head coach at Cornell. Lost once in the semifinal, lost once in the final. Outstanding job that he's done. They just missed last year. They come in as a number 8 seed, and they will be hosting Yale Saturday at 2:30. So all this is taking place at a nice Penn State lacrosse complex that they have. It's just below the Jordan Center in Holuba Hall. But what they've done between Jeff Tambroni and Missy Doherty, in a short period of time, they have built 2 NCAA caliber lacrosse programs, and they get to showcase that this weekend at home.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say something to you that you can talk to Kevin about. Okay, and then I'll hang up and listen. Ask him about Tuesday on the Mark. With him and Joe Bastardi was talking about Chicago Bear coach Mike Ditka.
Yeah, we were chatting about that earlier. I said I had the wrong failed running back draft by the referring to Ditka's draft and then go golfing.
At least a decade, Steve. When he went with Reggie Bush was the guy that did get dumped all that draft picks on in New Orleans.
It was Ricky Williams.
Yeah. The winning dress. I told him about that one.
Yeah, I did have the wrong failed running back.
He was over a decade behind, you know, at least one.
Story of my life. I've been a decade behind everything.
That's because we're talking about somebody who's really focused.
Okay, I'll let you go and listen to it.
On and off the course, really focused.
It's been a rough week.
It's only Wednesday, dude. It's only Wednesday.
Yay. Go to stevejonesshow.com. We have Steve on camera in the OTM cam. You can go to stevejonesshow.com or WKOK.com and see it.
In the Mark Lawrence Power Chair, Sarah Bartlett is next with the news on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove. Our routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. Roy Halladay needs the scope on his partially torn rotator cuff. And also removal of a bone spur. He says he hopes to pitch again this season. I doubt he's going to pitch again this season. I think that is, while being optimistic, it now explains what we've seen out of him. And this season, spring training and so forth, where everybody's saying something's wrong, something's wrong. Well, there was something wrong. A partial tear of the rotator cuff. He also has to have a bone spur removed as well. So the Phillies' season of woe continues.
Isn't he a free agent, too, after this year?
Well, he's not going to command any money.
Now, the question is, will the Phillies do anything with him?
Yeah, but you can't. Look, you can't really get a good contract coming off surgery like this. You can't. Look, he has served the Phillies extremely well. Okay? Up until he went on the disabled list last year. He has been everything the Phillies asked him to be. Okay? I mean, can you ask any more of a pitcher than what Roy Halladay has been until he went on the disabled list last year for the first time?
Well, again, though, $20 million is an awful lot sitting on the DL right now. That goes back to what we talked about earlier in the year.
But Kevin, you know, they get him in a trade. This is not a free agent guy here. They get him in a trade. They sign him to a big contract, the whole thing. All right. But he's been everything they could have asked him to have been along the way. He's been a horse. He's pitched innings. He has saved the bullpen. He has pitched a perfect game. He's pitched a no-hitter in the postseason. I mean, whenever they've needed him, he's been there. And then all of a sudden, last year, he finally hit a bump in the road. This is a guy that's thrown complete games. This is a guy that's eaten up innings. This is a guy that saved the bullpen. This is the guy that stopped losing streaks. This is the guy that's done all of that. And finally, it broke down.
You know, this will be an interesting conversation that you're going to have, I believe, tomorrow?
Friday. John Schneider from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs.
It'll be interesting now to hear, you know, some of the young pitching talent that's there, or maybe even a little bit down further in Reading.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, they'll have to depend on that because it looks like the Phillies are doing more and more of trying to build this organization through the farm system. A couple of guys I really had liked in Williamsport that I thought had upward mobility do. And that would be Darren Ruff in the outfield. That would be Cesar Hernandez and Leonardo Castro. Three guys I thought had upward mobility possibilities when I saw them at Williamsport are now playing. Hernandez in particular, I think he's going to be with the big club for the season's out. They do have pitching prospects there. Tommy Joseph has done pretty well, the guy they acquired in the Hunter Pence trade. He's the catcher. A guy that I did not like and did not think had upward mobility when I saw him was Cody Ashe. And yet now you look at him at AAA, he's well at AAA. Did not think he had their 12th round pick or something like that of the Phillies, if I recall correctly. So they have some prospects with Lehigh Valley. Of the guys that they have at Lehigh Valley right now, I really like Hernandez, Cesar Hernandez. And, of course, they have pitching prospects there as well. Thanks, my man. Just great having Mahone connect us up here and just make things happen. Guy's an ace on the golf course. It's amazing. He waits for other people before he hits. I mean, it's really an amazing guy. He is a witness to what you did.
You make it look like I aimed for you.
No, you did not aim for me. You did not aim for me, okay?
I didn't even know you were in the vicinity.
That's our point. You are absolutely unaware of your surroundings. Completely unaware of your surroundings. I mean, that was... I felt like I was on the movie Titanic and the two guys was clipping it. Admit, I rarely have heard a golf ball fly by my ear. In fact, that was a first.
Mike again. I hit the ball well then. I really heard that sound.
Mahone.
Get back to the Philly. About double A or
Delta Point fun Jumble. Great prospect. Great pitching prospects. Garrett Cole and Jameson Taillon. Okay. Overall. Okay. Not with the Pirates right now, are they? Because they still need seasoning on the farm. And Taillon is in double A right now with Altoona. Cole is with triple A Indianapolis. Both are. Cole might be with the club before the season's out. But you have to really go from triple to the majors. You really can't jump from double to the majors. Hitter, maybe, but only as an emergency.
No. I'm not saying jump him to the majors. I'm saying how long could it be?
A year.
I mean, if he let's say they move him up midway through the year to triple A. Is it another year yet before you see him in Philly?
Yeah, well, no. If he goes and he pitches half a season in AAA and has a good spring training, he'll be with the club next year. I mean, if somebody's that good, they can move that fast. They can definitely move that fast. And I think that it's a possibility.
I mean, Pettibone's been a nice addition, but it's early. As long as he keeps the ball down, early in the season in AAA, he was getting the ball up, and that's why his AAA ERA was above 9. His major league ERA right now is around 3.
Right. And that's, it's interesting. Some guys are, when they get to the major league level, especially you see this in hitters, you'll say, why for some hitters are the power numbers better in the major league level than it is on the AAA level? Fences are one. A little deeper in the minors, but also reliability. You're not looking at a minor league pitcher where you're thinking, where is he going to throw it? You're looking at major league pitchers who are dependably going to be around the plate, that when they miss, it's a purpose miss. So,
I think one of the big numbers, though, when you look at Pettibone's stats right now I realize he's only pitched in 3 games, but he's 2-0. He's got a 3.24 ERA. He's thrown 16 innings, but he's only given up 2 walks.
Right, and that's huge. When you're not giving up, when you literally are not giving away base runners, that's a big part of all this. Yeah, and you'll find the best guys are the ones that just don't give up. They just don't give up those free passes. Where time after time after time you see this, where pitchers end up failing because they're giving up a walk here, a walk there, they hit a batter, they give up a base, a wild pitch. It's the free stuff that you give up while being a great promotion in radio is not great for a pitcher in Major League Baseball.
That's true.
So... But Halliday, I mean, this is what, the Phillies have invested a lot of money in starting pitching. In my opinion, they overpaid for Cole Hamels. In my opinion, they overpaid for Cliff Lee. But when you get into an arms war and you're trying to stave off other teams, what's interesting is that how the Braves have been built. The Braves have rebuilt that club, getting the Uptons in respective trades, you know, acquiring a guy like Hudson a few years ago, developing their own bullpen, and they've been able to rebuild and rebrand that cast. They have, you know, they've been, you know, they went through they've done it within the constraints of a budget. This is not an overpaid group here. I mean, the Uptons certainly are going to command a lot of money. But even like Hayward's young, Freeman's young. I like the catcher a lot. I've liked it for years. You know, Ugla, they acquired from the Marlins. I mean, this is not an overpaid group. And they've been able to restructure the Braves so that the Braves have a nice, solid, multifaceted ball club.
Another solid win today, 7-2 over Cincy.
Right. Now, Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia did not, look, Ruben Amaro Jr., in my opinion, did not do something wrong here. He, you know, one of the keys that you have to have in Major League Baseball is you have to pick out a core group. And around your core group, you then fill in the parts. And you pick usually four guys to do that. Well, they picked Howard, Utley, Rollins, and Ruiz. Now, on paper, that should be pretty good.
Doesn't sound bad.
You know, it's not the youngest group going, but that's not bad. I mean, I look at, for example, let's take the Red Sox of 4 to the Red Sox of 7. So let's take a team that has won twice so far in the 21st century. There have only been two, the Cardinal Red Sox. Okay, so let's take two teams that have won twice so far in the century. All right? I mean, you know, we're in the 13th year of it now, right?
Right. So those, just like the century.
Yeah, but those are the two that have done it. So that was the most recent. The Red Sox picked out Veritek, Ortiz, Ramirez, and Schilling to build their core group around. Two power guys, a catcher, and a pitcher. Those are the four guys they built moving forward. They acquired Josh Beckett in a trade, along with Mike Lowell. Jacoby Ellsbury is a draft choice. Dustin Pedroia was a draft choice. They then picked up Julio Lugo. So they changed from Cabrera, whom they got in a trade, to getting Lugo to play shortstop. So, I mean, you're talking about interchangeable parts. All right. So this is, you know, instead of having Trot Nixon, the veteran in right field, they then signed J.D. Drew. Okay, they changed closers from Keith Folk, who had been a free agent, to a homegrown guy in Jonathan Papelbon. And this is how they built. They did something, of course, as far as I'm concerned, was monumentally, I mean, to me, made no business sense at all, but that was the Daisuke Matsuzaka signing. Because they had to pay $50 million for the right to talk to him. The answer in this, you know, you're going to tell me I need $50 million to talk to somebody? The answer is no.
Well, at that point, you already had so much invested.
No, but you know, I don't even bother. I mean, but right. Again, this was the threat of the Yankees. The Red Sox really believed that the Yankees were going to pay the $50 million to talk to them, thus sign them. And when you're in an intense rivalry within the division, and it's an arms war, and those two were going through at that time an arms war, they decided to spend the $50 million. Now, did the guy win Game 7 of the LCS? Yes. Did the guy win a World Series game? Yes. I mean, so he did do that. He won a Game 7, and he won a World Series game, but he even got a hit. But this is how they built it. Then a homegrown kid like Lester then, you know, comes in, he gets better, and becomes a starter for them. Okay, so this is what the Phillies tried to do. They picked out Rollins as shortstop, power guy in Howard, power guy up the middle guy in Utley, and a catcher in Ruiz.
And I think Utley, as a defensive player, has been underrated. Right. I think he's more than a solid second baseman.
Right, but what hasn't worked out is that, you know, and then Hamels would be the fifth
guy. I was going to say, Hamels is your five.
Hamels
at least gets you a pitcher.
Right. As a starting pitcher, they built this thing around. They acquire Halliday. They acquire Lee twice. Okay. Victorino fades from view. Mayberry's a guy that's never fulfilled promise.
No. I still hold out hope, but I don't know
right.
how much longer.
Polanco, no. So you got to shuffle him off.
Although, boy, I'll tell you what, he looked good a couple of weeks ago against the Phillies when the Marlins played.
Right, but I'm saying, though, in terms of what they had. I mean, again, but this is part of the interchangeable parts here. Certain parts are interchangeable parts.
Right.
So he doesn't fit, so they go with another part that's similar to what he does in skill set. Now, what they can't help is that what you don't count on, Utley gets hurt, plays fewer and fewer games each succeeding season until now. Howard gets hurt in the playoff game, which ends the season. It was the last out of the season. So you don't count on two of your core guys, and then you don't count on Ruiz getting a 25-game suspension for a substance that he should not be suspended for.
For trying to pay attention. I mean, that's what it is. It's a substance so he can pay attention and focus.
I mean, is it a stimulant to make you focus? Yes.
Well, and if he didn't go about it the right way, and I know this is a tangent, but if he didn't go about it the right way, if he didn't fill out the right paperwork to get it approved, okay, I understand that. Is that worth that kind of a suspension? No. But if he takes it, and he's supposed to take it, he's prescribed to take it, and he just didn't fill out the paperwork properly,
right?
Then it's not a suspension of that nature.
I agree with you. But see, this is how they've been built. They did the right thing. They picked out core guys. And if you're asking me beforehand, now before anything happens, which core guys do you pick? Those would be the same core guys I would pick. I would pick Howard. I would pick Utley. I would pick Rollins. I'd pick Ruiz. And I'd pick Hamels. And then I'd build the rest of the parts around it.
But I think I know what you're leading at. It's the parts around it that have been the problem. You know, Hunter Pence getting traded. I honestly think he would have been a good addition.
I never would have traded Hunter Pence. And you know I was against the trade when that made it last year. I never – that to me, that was a young guy that could have been with that club for 10 years and would have been a dependable – now, look, he's not a cleanup guy, right? And in which he was forced to be with Howard out. But he's a really good five- or six-hole hitter where there's less pressure, he's more comfortable, and you saw him thrive with the Giants because he didn't have to be the cleanup guy. Some guys are just like some guys are natural number ones, some guys are natural closers, some are natural three- and four-hole hitters. Pence is a five- and six-hole hitter and is comfortable being down in the order just a bit.
Which I would want. I mean, I want somebody in the five and six hole that's dangerous.
Sure you do. There's a lot of opportunities in the five and six hole that drive home runs. And he's a guy a lot of people wanted.
But how much of that trade was pushed by the fact that Brown and Mayberry were coming and they avoided trading Brown several times, hoping that he would come up and be a big player? How much of that was the pressure to make him come up and be the player is the reason they got rid of Hunter Pence when they could? Do you follow where I'm going with that?
I think they just felt they couldn't afford him in the end, and I think they felt that of all the guys they had, they could get multiple prospects for him, and they could not get multiple prospects for Dominic Brown or Mayberry or somebody else. So in terms of value, I think they felt they could get maximum value out of a trade. Now, Tommy Joseph will be interesting in his development. And when we have John Schneider on the show later this week from the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, we will talk about Tommy Joseph because he really is the centerpiece of that trade. So right now the Phillies have nothing to show for that deal, but we may find 5 years from now they have a lot to show from that deal, just like Woody Freiman for John Smoltz, just like Jeff Bagwell for Larry Anderson.
Yeah. By the way, we talked about Pettibone maybe getting a solid spot in the rotation now. He's pitching today against the Giants. So this will be his fourth start, I think.
Time to take a break. Our number 1-800-795-9565 in the Hillshire's General Store hotline on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Straight down the middle. It went straight down the middle.
Straight down the middle. Now, you did hit your first drive of the day straight down the middle.
Yes.
I mean, in fact, it was well struck. Okay, Mark, it was well struck.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, well struck. We were impressed. It was a driving rainstorm. You know, none of us really cared at that point.
Oh, no, come on.
But we gave you credit. Now, we gave you credit.
Straight down the middle.
You had a good drive at one. Yeah, I thought you had a good drive into the par three. You were just a little to the right of the creek.
Yeah.
And, which is fine.
That was about it.
And I believe at that point, I looked at Drew and Mark, and I said, I believe the wheels have come off the wagon.
Hey, but I've got a great opportunity to get ready for June 5th and do it all over again. I bet you won't stand in front of me when I swing from now on, will you?
I wasn't in front of you.